So good to be here. If you, this is your first time, if you're just checking out God and just a little bit of curious about who God might be, maybe you've tried everything, maybe you've been seeking and searching, we are so glad that you are here. And we believe that if you are open to hearing from the Lord, that he is most certainly going to meet you right where you are. We talk about coming from the scattered community to the gathered community. And this morning, as we kind of think about that framework, we're going to actually talk more about what we do when we're scattered than when we're gathered. Over the last several weeks, we've been going through this idea of no longer strangers and this idea of belonging and connecting with one another and community. And the reason this kind of fell so heavy on my heart to engage in this conversation, to have this as a part of a sermon series, is because what you see when you look around are people increasingly becoming disconnected from one another. What you see happening within our culture is an increasing idea of isolation, where we find ourselves in a cancel culture, when we find ourselves holding people at a distance, when we find ourselves in such a place in history where those who were once close to us now are disconnected from us. We also find ourselves being disconnected because we have this sense that I can't be an integrated person in every area of my life. We find ourselves thinking, you know what? When I'm at work, I gotta be like my work person. When I'm at home, I'm like my home person. And when I'm at church, I'm my church person. And I'm in this place, I'm that person. And so we wrestle with this sense of belonging because we are constantly wrestling with two questions. The first one is this: who am I? And who do I need to be? Who am I and who do I need to be? Those are the questions that are circling in our mind as we're going, all right, who am I in this particular context? Who am I when I'm in this place? And who do I need to be? What hat do I need to wear in the classroom? What hat do I need to wear at school? What hat do I need to wear when I'm with my family, when I'm with my church, when I'm at work, when I'm with my friends, when I'm at the restaurant? Who am I and who do I need to be? But can I tell you something, church? That the reason we feel a lack of belonging when we're asking these questions, the reason that we have become frustrated, the reason we have become isolated, is because these two questions lead us further and further away from Scripture. Because the context of these questions is that we are different people in different places, that we are different people and have different understandings and almost have different values and understanding of who we are depending on the context. But when we read Scripture, we see that God has created us to be integrated beings. And when we feel disconnected because we're not able to be that integrated being, we feel a lack of belonging, a lack of stability in our lives. In fact, in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, we're reminded of this grounding of who we are called to be. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 say this: "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." It didn't matter where they were. They were going to love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. It didn't matter what context that they were in. In fact, if you go just a little bit back from Deuteronomy and you go to the book of Leviticus, yes, the riveting book of Leviticus that you all have read and memorized. But one of the things you learn in the book of Leviticus is that God has created his people to have him and his spirit, that the laws of God, that the ways of God integrated into every area of the people of Israel. It didn't matter if they were in their business. It didn't matter if they were in the marketplace. It didn't matter if they were around the table. It didn't matter if they were in the bedroom. It didn't matter where they were going to turn their affection and their attention to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. There wasn't an area of their life that wasn't completely surrendered to God. There wasn't an area of your life. Like, here's the challenge for us. We can come on a Sunday and say we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, and on Monday we're doing our own thing. And we wonder why we have this lack of belonging. We wonder why we wrestle and struggle through this idea that somehow I don't feel like I'm connected to God and I don't feel like I'm connected to one another. Can I tell you something, church? One of the reasons is we have not integrated our faith into every area of our lives. And you see this as you continue to read throughout scripture. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. You don't have these individuals who are like, hey, we're gonna love Jesus and we're gonna allow the Holy Spirit to guide us when we are at church. No, it says in their home and when they gathered together and they broke bread, wherever they were, the Holy Spirit was moving through this community. And even Jesus himself reveals to us that this is the transformation that he came to make. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, it says, the word became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. I love the Message's paraphrase of this passage. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That Jesus moved up next door to us and into our home, and the Spirit of God began to move in and through this community who worshiped Jesus and declared him Lord. And they became citizens of a different kingdom, and they knew their identity and they understood who they were, and they prayed together and they prayed in the streets and they prayed in the homes under heavy persecution. Wherever they went, they had a sense of identity and they had a sense of belonging and they had a sense of who they were, because their lives weren't disconnected and segmented into this is my work life and this is my home life and this is my church life and this is my restaurant life and this is my grocery store life and this is what happens when I talk to somebody on customer service and I'm really ticked off at them. Like, it wasn't segmented into all of these different areas. It was integrated into every area of their lives. And one of the things that you see happening, that you see in that first passage that I read from Acts chapter 5, verse 42, is that, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message: Jesus is the Messiah. Didn't matter where they were. When they were in the temple, guess what they declared? Jesus is the Messiah. When they were in the home, what did they declare? That Jesus is the Messiah. That they found themselves constantly having the words of Jesus and the ways of Jesus and the law of Jesus, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That it was constantly on their mind, on their tongue, and they lived into that reality. And so here's where I want to go today. Home, where we learn to belong and to follow Jesus. Home, where we learn to belong and to follow Jesus. Now, hold on a second. Isn't that what we do in small group? Isn't that what we do in Bible study? Isn't that what we do in the tabernacle or in the sanctuary when we worship? Isn't that where we learn to belong to and to follow Jesus? Yes, but Acts chapter 5, verse 42 says that it was in the tabernacle and from house to house where they learned to belong to and to follow Jesus. Now, here's what I know just happened. For some of you, when you hear the word home, you automatically go to the word family. And when you go to the family, you go to this idea of nuclear family or mom and dad and kids. And that's not what I mean by home. Or should I say it this way? That is an aspect of what I mean by home, but it's not limited to that. When you hear the word home in this context, when you hear me preaching about the word home, I want you to think about wherever you lay your head down to sleep. And if you have a family and you have kids, awesome. And if you have grandkids living with you, awesome. And if you are a widow or a widower, that is your home where you lay yourself down. And if you are a student who's in a dorm room right now, that is your home. Wherever you are, and you have the opportunity to invite the presence of God to fill that space and to transform your lives, that is home. Wherever you are. It's where we learn to belong to and to follow Jesus. Your home becomes the environment where your life gets integrated into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your home becomes the area and the space and the people that you live with or room with or rent with or whatever your context is becomes the space where the Spirit of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God get integrated and take root into our lives. Now, I understand this, that for some of us, again, that word home comes with really good memories. When I say the word home, you think of, man, the fireplace and sitting around with family, and you think of the cookies that are baking, and you think of those things. And for others, the word home has really painful memories attached to it. Can I tell you something, though? The enemy has hijacked God's design for discipleship and hospitality and the kingdom of God to come to earth as is in heaven, in the tabernacle, through scandal, moral failure, and things of that nature, and in the home, through abuse and hurt and pain and suffering. But God has created those spaces to form us further into his image. Home, according to this pastor Daniel Groth, I love this quote. Home is a gateway where the kingdom of God makes its way into the kingdom of earth. Home is the gateway where the kingdom of God makes its way into the kingdom of earth. You don't have to wait till Sunday or the gathering of the worshiping body. You don't have to wait till the Bible study to allow the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God to take root in your life. So, what is the purpose of home? What is the purpose of home? First purpose is this: the home is a place for discipleship. The home is a place for discipleship. If you keep reading on in that Deuteronomy passage that I read earlier, where we read the Shema, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, it continues on and says this: and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Wherever the person was going, they were keeping the word of God, the story of God, the law of God before them. They couldn't go anywhere where they weren't thinking about, hey, what does it look like to integrate my life into the kingdom of God? What does it look like for me to be not just in Israel, but in Israel where God is my God and I am his people? There wasn't any area of their life where that wasn't on their particular mind. Now, again, I noticed, and some of you picked up on it, that one of the aspects of this passage is that we would teach our children this. We're gonna circle back to that in a moment. But it's not exclusively, the home is not exclusively a place where we just disciple our children. It's where we are discipled, but it's also where we disciple others. Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26, a Jewish man named Apollos came to Ephesus. Apollos had been born in the city of Alexandria. He was a very good speaker and knew a lot about the scriptures. He also knew about the Lord's way, and he spoke about it with great excitement. What he taught about Jesus was right, but all he knew was John's message about baptism. Apollos started speaking bravely in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him to their home and helped him understand God's way even better. And so what you have happening here is not just the discipleship of children and the discipleship of ourselves and the discipleship of the family that's gathered and the friends that are gathered, but what you have happening here is even other people who we invite in our home, we get the opportunity to disciple them in the ways of Jesus. We get the opportunity to teach them the ways of Jesus, to model the ways of the kingdom, to live into the reality of who we are in Christ. So, How do we do that? Let's get practical. First thing is this. The home should be set apart for the glory of God. The home should be set apart for the glory of God. We should declare over our homes that this is space where the presence of God and the Spirit of God reside, and the kingdom of God is present. And the people who enter into this home and make their bed here, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And those who come in here are going to experience the kingdom of God. This is our calling. Now, here's something that's fascinating. I don't know who this is for. I just know in my study of these passages and for this message that this word came to my heart and mind, and I believe somebody needs to hear it today, and it's going to be challenging. You might want to write it down. If we all write it down, nobody knows who it's for. In the Christian community, after almost 25 years of ministry, I can tell you from conversations with people, from witnessing it, that in the Christian community, the home in many Christians' lives becomes the place of secrecy and secret sin rather than the dwelling of the Spirit. We need to set the home apart and say, this will not be a place where I will allow the enemy to lead me into secret sin. This will not be a place where I will allow the enemy to take control. This home, the place where I dwell, students who are in college, your dorm room can become a place of secret sin. Single person, your home can become the place of secret sin. Married couple, your home can become the place of secret sin. Rather than setting apart your home and everything in your home for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God to dwell, for God to come to earth as is in heaven. And so in the home, we set things apart. We set it apart in so many ways. We've done this. We've had the privilege of doing this. We've gone over people's homes. In fact, went over home. This was probably about 6 or 8 months ago. One of our new lifers was building a brand new home, and they invited us over to pray over their home. And what we did is we wrote scripture all over the floor and all over the walls that were going to be painted to remind them that this home is set apart. Well, we've been to other homes. In fact, this last week, Katie and Trey Powell invited some of our staff over. I was at Vandenberg. I didn't even get an opportunity to do this one, but they went over and they anointed with oil their home. And I've been to homes, some of your homes, and I've taken oil and I've wiped it over the doorpost, and I've put it on the steps, and I've put it on the driveway, and I've begun to put oil everywhere. Now, there is nothing superstitious about oil. There's nothing mystical or magical about oil, but oil throughout Scriptures is used to set things apart and say, this is for God. My driveway is for God. My TV is for God. My computer is for God. My table is for God. My refrigerator is for God. You think I'm silly? I'm not being silly. I'm saying, what would it look like to dedicate and set apart every area of your home so that not only are you being one who recognizes that I'm a disciple of Christ, I'm a citizen of the kingdom, and my heart, my house has been set apart, my home has been set apart, and anybody who walks in here is going to experience the presence of God. What would that look like? What would it look like? My friends Terrence and Emily, we tease them sometimes. They're secret anointers. Like Emily will tell you, there was times in her kids' lives where she would sneak into their bedroom and she'd begin to anoint them while they slept. Some of you are like, that's creepy. Not when the enemy's coming after your kids. And you're saying, God, I want to know that your presence, even though I don't see it in their life right now, your presence is still active and present in their lives. I'm gonna set apart their rooms. I'm gonna set apart their car. I'm gonna set apart. Some of you need to walk by their phone and you're like, I don't have anointing oil. Go get some Crisco from the thing. I don't know. What I'm saying is, it's more the mentality. It's not so much the act, it's the mentality that the things that we have and the things that we do and the places where we dwell are set apart for the glory of God. That everything we do is set apart for the glory of God. And so we set apart our homes when we teach the scripture in our homes, and we open up the word in our homes, and we remind ourselves that the scripture is not just something I study in church, but I study it at home. Which leads to the second thing in the home, in this idea of discipleship. The home is where teaching takes place. It's where we study the scripture, where we read it. And I gotta confess to you, there's too many times as a pastor that I, in my own home, study the scriptures too much in the office and not enough at home. It wasn't bad, not sin. But man, I wanna make sure that my kids see me and that people would see me studying the scriptures and going to the scriptures and understanding that this is not simply just something that I teach. This is not just something that I simply just read and move on with my life, but this is something I take wherever I am and becomes the lens by which I understand my entire life. It's where I get identity. It's where I get confidence. It's the words that I've prayed over each of my kids again and again and again and again, when I didn't have the words to pray over them. It's the words that I would open up and pray over other people when they were going through difficult moments. It's the places where we discipled folks through really difficult, tragic times. And when you have confidence in who you are and in your identity and your foundation, I'm gonna speak to parents and grandparents right now for a second. When you raise kids to have a grounded and be rooted in the story of God, you don't have to say this, hey, you're 18, go find yourself now. It's a lie of the enemy. Go grow in your giftedness of the Lord. Go grow in your understanding of his salvation. Go grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Go grow in those things. Yes, 18, move out of the house, go to college, go do things. But know who you are. Know your foundation, because you've grown up and you've lived and you've pressed in a home to the story of God. As disciples, we also form liturgies in our home. Some of you, it's the gathering around the table on a regular basis. I know in our family, it was the highs and lows, a liturgy just for us to get an insight into what people are celebrating about what God has done and the prayer requests or the struggles they are going through. And I can tell you that when we would get to highs and lows and we would say that at our table, all of our kids would roll their eyes. And one of them would be like, hey, I had a low, and they would tell what it is. And then the younger one next to them would say, hey, it's what Drew said. Same thing. It's not easy. It's not easy to have this type of shaping go on, but it's creating space where we understand that we are the people of God, and this is what we do, and we pray for each other, and we encourage one another, and we listen to one another. We don't just simply just walk by one another. We pause. We connect. And it's hard. Another liturgy of the Hutsko home is singing. Whether we're good singers or not, we sing. Started when my kids were young. I used to come home from seminary and I would rock them. All y'all singing like nursery rhymes and things like that. I was a seminarian. So my kids got praise God from whom all blessing flow. Doxology every night. Rocking my kids to sleep. Yeah, I'm a Bible nerd. But I would rock them to sleep. And I would sing that over them. And as they got a little bit older, we would sing worship songs together and throughout our house. And as they got a little bit older, I noticed something. That they would have worship music on in the morning. And sometimes they would be worshiping because they were praising the Lord, but there would be these moments where I would know they were going through something really difficult, and you know what would still be happening in their room? Worship music. Worship music. I'd walk by the room and I know that they were battling something difficult and there would be worship music on. and they'd be worshiping. Why? Because Hutzkos are the type of people that whether we're on the mountaintop or we are in the valley, we worship God. He is still Lord. That's not something I had to sit down and say, hey, this is the type of people we are. This is something that they caught. And it's the same thing that people will call it, same thing that your roommate will catch when they see you going through a difficult experience. The same thing that your grandkids will catch when they see you, widow or widower, lose your spouse and yet you still walk with the Lord. And they're saying, how do you do that? Because God's Lord no matter what's going on in my life. And it's also worship music that now as having adult children that we text songs back and forth when we find different songs that just stir within us. And I'm the old guy, so I send it and I put a little fire emoji to let them know it's really good. We were at the Brandon Lake and Phil Wickham worship night in the Bay Area a couple weeks ago. And an older song, slightly older song, came on, the battle belongs to the Lord. And I know, I pray for each of my kids. They all have their own struggles and challenges. That song stirred something within me. And so over the last couple weeks, every single morning and every single night, whether it's on my phone or whether I'm singing it in my heart and mind. When I fall on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Because I'm a dad. I can't fight every battle they have anymore. All my fear I lay at your feet. I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Folks, that's a liturgy. What are the liturgies that you have set apart in your home? That you have said, God, this is your space and this is your home and this is your family and this is, you know, your apartment and your dorm room. What are the liturgies that you have set apart and said, this is space for the Lord to reside? How have you set that apart? And home is a place where we will be known by how we love one another. By how you love your roommate, by how you love your friends that enter in that space, by how you love your family, by how you love your kids as the Lord has loved you. The home is that type of space. You're like, whoa. Does that mean we gotta be perfect? Nope. The Hutzkos are not a perfect family. We mess up. We mess up big sometimes. But we also forgive big because we've been forgiven big. Because of what Jesus has done in us, we forgive. And that's public. Sometimes Dana and David's arguments are public. So guess what? Sometimes our forgiveness needs to be public. And our kids need to see us forgive one another and have a fresh start because his mercies are new every morning. In a cancel culture, in an isolation culture, what a vision of the kingdom of God and what a compelling way to live that says, no, we don't cancel each other in this household. We learn how to love and forgive and bear with one another in this household. And all of a sudden, our kids and our family and our friends and our roommates are like, this is the type of place where I want to belong. This is the place where I want to put down roots. I love this quote that I came across. I don't know who it's by. Disciples are created in the home before they're needed in the world. Disciples are created in the home before they're needed in the world. If we haven't discipled in our home, who are we sending out to declare the Great Commission? Who are we moving in that direction? The second thing, I know we're pressing against time. Don't worry, I'll get you out here in a second. The home is a place for hospitality. The home is a place for hospitality. In Luke chapter 5, verses 29 through 32, actually, if you go back in the earlier part of Luke chapter 5, Levi or Matthew has an encounter with the Lord. And when he has an encounter with the Lord, he begins to follow him. And then we read on, later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as a guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Church, when your home declares the kingdom of God, you can invite, and I don't say this disrespectfully, but you can invite scum into your home and they encounter Jesus. Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." Then if you flip forward in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews, it says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says this, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without even realizing it." And so, yes, your home is space for discipleship, but your home is also space for hospitality. And hospitality is what leads to transformation and new life. Hospitality leads to people encountering Jesus. Last week, some friends of ours from Michigan came and visited John and Beth Kring. And over the years of their marriage, they have had over 30 people live with them at their home. Over 30 people who they've opened up their home to and said, "You can have a place to stay." And when those people come into their home, guess what they get to experience? The love of Jesus. Guess what they get to experience? The kingdom of God. Guess what they get to experience? The Spirit of God. Now, has every single person come to know Jesus who walked into their home? No. But I can tell you story after story of people who see them as a spiritual mother or father who led them to the Lord. Who walked into their home not knowing Jesus, and 6 months or a year later or 2 years later walked out of their home on fire for Jesus. And when those that even maybe didn't learn who Jesus or didn't invite Jesus to be Lord of their life walked out of their home, it's amazing how many of them years later, when they went through tragedy, when they went through heartache, who do they call? Beth and John Cream, because they showed them hospitality. College student who's in a dorm and your roommate isn't a believer. Person or renting apartment with somebody else, and person who's renting your ADU in the back of your house. How are you creating an atmosphere of hospitality that they might encounter the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who sacrificed his life for the forgiveness of sins, that their life might be transformed? There's these things that I see at various people's houses. These little mats that we lay down. There's various sayings on the different mats. One of the ones that I like, "Welcome. Just kidding. Please stay home." That just speaks to my introverted heart. But in all seriousness, I've heard people talk about home sometimes and they say, "I just want this to be a little bit of heaven on earth." I think what most people think when they say that is, I want kind of this oasis in my backyard with the hot tub over here and the fire pit over here and a place to entertain people. And I just want a little piece of heaven on earth. But I'd want to push back on you a little bit. And nothing wrong with having nice space, but I want to push back on you a little bit, because what I want you to hear and what I want you to see when you say, "I want my home to be a little bit of heaven on earth," is that it would actually be a place where heaven is hosted, so that when people walk in, that they couldn't help but sense that the Spirit of God is in this place. That they wouldn't have to come to a worship center to experience that. That they wouldn't have to have kind of a holy moment, but from the moment they walk in, they just sense that something is radically different about this place. The way that we talk to each other, the way that we pray, the way that we gather around. They wouldn't even know this, but I've anointed my table with oil so that the conversations that happen at that table would produce fruits. Where? When someone comes to your home, do they experience quite literally, the kingdom of God coming to earth as it is in heaven. The home where we deeply root ourselves in the belonging, in our belonging to Jesus, where we are discipled, where we learn the ways of the kingdom, where we're shaped by the scriptures and the Spirit of God, where we set our lives apart for the glory of God in the home, where we invite the stranger and the friend and the person that may not look like us, act like us, and think like us, and the cousin and the person who votes differently than us, and we invite them into, oh yes, I said that during this context because I think that's an important one, and we invite that person into their home and they experience the glory of God, the presence of God, where they encounter the risen Jesus and their life is radically changed. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. And I want to create a little bit of space before we leave for you to reflect. First thing to reflect on is this, every eye closed, every head bowed. What would it look like for me to set apart my home and recognize that it is space where God's Spirit dwells? What would it look like for me to set apart the entertainment that happens in my home? What would it look like for me to set apart the things of my home? What would it look like for my home to be a space where discipleship and teaching happen? Where my kids don't just learn to do their homework or throw a ball, but they learn the ways of Jesus. And then what would it look like for me to create hospitality? What would it look like for me to open my home to people who don't know Jesus? Who, quite honestly, some self-righteous person might look at you and say, why are you letting scum come into your home? What would it look like for you to open up your table and sit down and fellowship with people who don't think like you and act like you and believe like you? And then what would it look like for you to be so grounded in who you are in Jesus and so integrated into every area of your life that you have such a sense of belonging that no matter where you are, when people encounter you, they walk away, and whether they can articulate it this way or whether they just sense it, I feel like when I'm with so-and-so, it's like being with Jesus. When they speak, it's like hearing from Jesus. When they hug me, it's like being hugged by Jesus. When they open up the word, when they experience challenges, I feel like that's how Jesus would face challenges. Because we have been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives in you. Christ lives in me. And so God, we consecrate ourselves before you and we invite you to move into our neighborhoods, to move into our homes and set them apart for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Don't forget, right at 12:30 this afternoon, if you are interested in joining a crew, if you're a part of a crew, we invite you back for a time of feasting together and fellowshipping together, and then also hearing and sharing about where God is on the move and where you can connect and be a part of the body of Christ and play your part in this body. As you go today, may you go to create a home that is set apart for the glory of God, to create a home that is so hospitable that when people enter it, they are led to new life in Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.
up, dude?